Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thanks to Sunday for supporting FilmSack. Sunday can help you grow a beautiful lawn without the guesswork or the nasty chemicals. Full season plans start at just $109, and you can get 20% off when you visit getsunday.com/filmsack20 at checkout.
Man, did you see that? I mean, he pulled right out in front of me.
Took my eyes off the road for a second, but I mean, come on.
Maybe it's time we take a little break.
He ain't no goddamn donut king.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello and welcome to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 593. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Brian. I think the whole damn town might be trying to fool him Dunaway.
Bunch of people. I can't stand them. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on FilmSack, we pack up our wives and escape from New England in our brand new oil-guzzling 1997 Jeep Grand Cherokee to take the scenic route on the dusty abandoned highways of Amazon Prime for our new jobs out west. Putting tennis shoes on computers, I guess. Yeah, that's the thing. Holy smokes, did you see that? That guy just pulled out in front of us while I was reaching the back seat for my thermos full of what I can only assume is hot coffee. Or booze. Probably peach schnapps. Okay, calm down. Oh, man. It almost gave me a heart attack. Some big trouble in Little Angina. Am I right? Anywho. I'm just calling in from a payphone with my last two dimes to let you guys know how the trip was. So far, just a quick recap. Car broke down, didn't win $90,000 or 90,000 donuts, but did have a 15-minute conversation about it. Take the money, Amy. Can you sell a donut for $1 in 1997? No! Take the money, Amy! Yeah. Wife may have ran off with some other trucker, got in a fight with a shorter cook who drew a gun, and, hold on a second, one of these local rubes is polishing the rust on the sports car and trying to get my attention. What? Yeah, I'm the fellow who's looking for his wife. Yeah, I guess that sounds about right. For her tit to body ratio. Randy, I gotta go. This rube is measuring shit and tits. Call the police.
Oh, man. Hall of Fame level intro today. Real good. Holy shit. All right. Nicely done. Also with us today, Randy. Only he knows where those donuts ended up, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
Thanks for coming out here to our secret crime barn so early in the morning. I realize it's not that much of a secret with my kid already knowing how to unlock the doors and get inside and look through all of our boxes and boxes of camera lenses and VCRs that we're stockpiling rather than fence them so we don't have to keep committing crimes to stockpile even more camera lenses. Anyway, gosh, they grew up so fast. First order of business, it sounds like Earl got pinched. So, Billy, you win the betting pool we all had on who got caught or killed first. All the rest of us figured it would be you, Billy. Go ahead, choose your prize among the two best boxes of camera lenses and VCRs. Next order of business. Al, I need you to help me move this lady from the secret compartment in your truck to the secret compartment under the floor where we stash ladies we've captured. Woo! I just love me some secret compartments. I love how if you surround yourself with secret compartments, no vengeful victim of yours will ever use them against you. Okay, meeting adjourned.
Yeah, I want more holes with doors in it. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to work on that.
We'll come install one for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'll see where we get with it. Also with us, we got Brian. He's here for all that Louisville Slugger product placement money, Ibbot.
Oh, yeah, get that one right out of the baseball bat box, would you? All right, well, you know, there really was only one choice for karaoke for this one.
All right.
Here we go. A road trip in the desert. In the heat of the day, I don't want donuts. The engine's starting to go nuts. I should have called AAA. JT Walsh on my left side.
Oh,
yeah. MC Ganey on my right.
Yeah.
I don't know what made me think I could trust those guys, cause they never play no one nice. Baby, Breakdown, that's the name of this movie. Shakedown for $90,000. Cakedown, no, I'm not the Donut King of New England. Takedown, it's my wife. I can't fight. Oh, that was so high. I'm not bright.
Well,
thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What does Tina think about all of this? Is she in the house?
She is out getting coffee with friends.
Oh,
she
good.
Is not
thank
rooted.
God. Dodge
never,
that bullet.
You know what? Thank she God. Never hears these things, actually, because she usually leaves the house when I'm doing these, or I come up with them after she's gone to bed.
Tom
I have the first, by the way, I have the first verse written mostly before I even watched the movie.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
So hold on. Tom Petty, right? That
who that yeah.
is?
Tom Petty.
Okay.
Rest in peace, Tom. When I saw Tom Petty live maybe 17 years ago, he couldn't hit that high note.
Well,
he didn't even try.
He and I both.
That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he just drop down and say, it's all right. It's all right.
I think he pulled away from the mic and let everybody else yell. Breakdown.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Smart.
Fun. How do you know what? Okay. I'm sorry to get all like how the sausage is made here, but how do you pick the song? Like when you're making this?
It's called
this
Breakdown.
One's called Breakdown. This was an easy choice.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. I didn't realize that was the name of the song. That would help to know that.
Yeah. But sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's a song that has nothing like when I did Mambo. Well, Mambo number 5 was Rambo number 2.
Mm,
yeah. Daredevil, Cruella Deville.
Okay.
Man of the Moon. Oh, yeah. Moonfall
album.
I should.
I can't wait.
I do have all of these, like, I don't have the sung versions, obviously, anywhere, but I do have all of the karaoke files.
Nice. That's really, really good. As you heard some references to, we were talking about the movie Breakdown, and here is totally real, not fake Scott Fletcher to explain.
Breakdown. A man searches for his missing wife after his car breaks down in the middle of the desert.
All right. Fletcher had a very busy week, couldn't do a line, so I had his AI fake voice do it, which isn't even very close to it.
Oh, that's
voice.
Hilarious. Really? So it really was fake
wasn't,
AI.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's
it
not
really
that bad.
Wasn't that bad.
It's
till the end.
But don't worry, you're not getting replaced.
No. Absolutely not. No.
The key here is don't run a bunch of extra lines that you don't need. Like make it short and sweet and we'll fall for it.
There you go. Enjoy your week off, Scott Fletcher. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. But the movie is the Jonathan Mostow directed film Breakdown. Which
so it's called Breakdown because his car breaks down.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It's the communication that breaks down. No, wait, it's societal norms that break down. Wait,
he's having a nervous breakdown.
All of them at once. it's a movie I didn't see when it came out, and I know I think most of you have, though. All of you?
I saw it in theaters and never let my wife leave my side for probably a good 6 months.
It's a good idea. Yeah. And sell
your donuts. It affected a lot of people. This had a lot of buzz around it when it came out because it was, it struck a chord with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it keyed into a certain paranoia people have about places that feel rural to them if they're in the city and they don't understand how that sort of stuff works. And I think it plays on that. I didn't see it when it came out. I remember hearing about it and thinking, oh, we should see that because that's like Hitcher or something. It's like this cool out in the desert. I love that kind of stuff. Let's go. And then I never saw it. And so this is my first viewing. And I have to say, I thought this was cool. I like Breakdown a lot.
It was. Yeah. And this was what a year. Like we had just the previous week, we all went and saw Volcano. Right,
Tommy Lee 97.
Jones. No, I didn't actually.
Yeah. I did.
1997 was incredible. Look for this. Like, we all went and saw Volcano in the last week of April. Then the first week in May, we got Breakdown and Austin Powers International Man of Mystery on the same Friday.
Oh my lord!
And they were like starting this summer of the next week was The Fifth Element, and I remember it all. The next week was Lost World Jurassic Park, and like it just kept going and going. 97, Air Force One.
Yeah.
Face Off, Men in Black, Batman and Robin, Con Air. Like, what a summer.
Yeah, it was a big summer.
If you ignore the 80s and like 1984 being what a lot of people like me consider to be the best year for movies, or 1986 or whatever it was, if you take the 80s out of the equation, 97 really has a case for being the next best year out of the 80s that for movies.
I like 99 a lot, but it's not quantity there. It's more quality.
Matrix, right?
Matrix and there's a few other things though. I think
Jurassic
that's a
Park Matrix.
Just a good year, but this is awesome. I thought this was really intense and good, and
it's also relatively time independent. You could replace his little flip phone with an iPhone now and still have no service out where he's at and be in the same damn predicament.
Unless you're on Hillbilly Cellular, all those guys had no trouble.
Oh, yeah. They were communicating. Well, they were CBing.
CB radio.
Oh, no. Gainey was on the cell phone.
Oh, was he?
They did CBs, but no. Yeah. Gainey flipped out his flip phone.
That was the weirdest part of it.
Didn't he? Yeah.
They make a big point about how if you ain't got CB out here, you're toast.
Yeah.
And then
nobody used the CB.
They never demonstrated.
Nobody. The whole movie. It was always broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the premiere date for this? Did you say, Randy?
May 2nd, 1997.
Oh, you know why I didn't see this? Carter was literally being born that month. I think we were like baby. We were so busy with that. Taylor was 3 years old. Like we were not going to movies very often. I think that's how I missed
it. I just want to point out, I was naming all of the summer blockbusters that came out that year, and it was unbelievable how many there were. Right. It's also the same year that later in the year we got Titanic and As Good as It Gets and Good Will Hunting and LA Confidential, and like it's just insane that year.
Yeah. That's a good year, man. Good year. Yes, get it?
Year.
Like tires on your car that broke down? Break down? Jonathan Mostow, you know him from other movies. This guy is famous for this. He did Terminator 3 Rise of Machines, which I think we sacked, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. U-571, which I thought was pretty cool back in 2000. I liked that. Right. I don't know if anyone saw Surrogates.
What? U-571, I kept trying to look at the license plate. They showed the license plates a lot, and I kept trying to figure out if they meant something.
Oh, maybe that'd be funny if they did.
I was saving this for a Star Trek connection, but the I think it's Kurt Russell's license plate is Q Who. Right.
Oh, is it?
That's great. It's Q-H-U. So it's like, Star Trek connection, Q-Who.
Nice. I get it. It's pretty good. He's not done a ton since. Like, he's very, not spotty, but just like 2000 U-571. He did Terminator 3 in 2003, and then something called Them, then Surrogates in 2009, then up to 2014 for an episode of a TV show, 2017, a movie called The Hunter's Prayer, and right now a single episode in that new Accused show. With Michael Vick and not Michael Vick. What's his name? Shit. The Commish. What's his name? I can't think of his name. Anyway, that guy.
I don't know. Chiklis.
Michael Chiklis.
There you go.
The thing.
I'm
amazed actually looking at Surrogates because I didn't recognize it. Although it's possible I actually have seen this.
Bruce Willis.
It's Bruce Willis, but I'm surprised we haven't seen it because it's got James Cromwell, Ving Rhames, Rosamund Pike.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of people based on the comic book.
We should see this. We should
do it. And it has Jack Noseworthy, who was in Breakdown.
God, that's a horrible name. Can I just say Noseworthy? Like, It feels like you see that on Cake Boss or something. All right, well, your cake, I like the peppermint. It's very noseworthy.
Very noseworthy.
It's got a good mouth feel.
Yeah.
It's amazing what he can do with a hat, though, because, just that hat. He was like, this guy's a rube. This guy's a rube. And he pulls it off, and he's like, lovely
looks. Oh, look at his luxurious hair. He's smart now.
Yeah, he's smart. He's wicked smart.
Yeah, that was a fun trope to play around with. I feel like I see that guy in lots of stuff. I feel like he's and in boy, tons of things.
It's only our third film sack movie with Jack Noseworthy, but boy, did he have a moment. Like we saw him in Barb Wire and we saw him in Event Horizon. Like he's real memorable from Event Horizon. And I just like, what happened to that guy? He's so great.
He's Bobby Kennedy in something. I can't remember what it was.
Taylor and Encino Man.
I was going to say, speaking of the Oscars, his first movie was Encino Man featuring future Oscar winners Brendan Fraser and Kiwi Kwan.
Wow, fantastic. There was something the other day. Oh, I didn't know this. Michelle Yeoh and Brendan Fraser were in the second Mummy movie together. I forgot she was in that. Like this year's got
Michelle Yeoh was in that either.
There's so much crossover, dude. It's crazy.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah, all those guys.
The thing I loved was right after she won, I saw a tweet where somebody said, "Well, there's our first Star Trek captain to win an Oscar."
Oh, look at that.
Oh, shit. Funny. Captain Giorgio. Giorgio. She's great on there too. Yeah. And I'd forgotten about all her old Jackie Chan stuff. Like she was doing stunt shit that would like break all our bones.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing to call her a great actress, and she is, but if you go back and look at her old stuff, holy crap, she was putting her life on the line every day.
Was it Super Cop or
Big Trouble?
No, Super Cop, right?
Super Cop. Saw
her in for
this show? She does that motorcycle stunt, and she almost died on set, and it's like crazy. She's a freaking monster. She's great. Anyway, this movie is all kind of first. It's like, hey, it's Gaslight, the movie, and then it's like, wait a minute, what's the motivation here? And eventually, you realize it really just comes down to money and a bunch of weird locals. But I was just riveted. I haven't felt this way about an adventure sort of intense thriller movie. Yeah, I haven't felt that way about a film sack movie like this in a while. It's been a bit
for me. It's solid. It's simple. It's just
took my wife.
Right, exactly. It's like, all right, wife's gone. How do we make this guy look like he's the one that's confused and has no idea? But if you start thinking about this is what I wanted to kind of bring up and have us go through is, all right, let's, the people prior to Kurt Russell, the people with a camera and a baseball bat and a bunch of clothes and stuff like
VCRs,
that. Because obviously they've been VCRs. Because, who brings so many VCRs cross country or just driving through New Mexico? What is their game? Like, how much of that is they're by the book? This is step one, step two, step three profit. Does MC Gainey pull out in front of the guy first to get him pissed off and run into him later at the gas station
dangerous.
Every time?
Oh, really good point. Yeah.
Don't ever try to break down the plan. I started to do that and I'm like, oh, that's not going to work. How in the hell is, old JT Walsh driving down the road in his semi truck in the opposite direction, happens to run into the cop? All this stuff has to happen. I'm like, you can't plan none of this.
Not very well, no. Like, I agree. I mean, it's a little bit weird that way. I kind of almost preferred, if they remade it today, I bet they'd do this, but I almost prefer it just be, well, you piss me off, and now I'm going to just hunt you. It's just a revenge movie.
Right. And not have the fact that they do this a lot and all of the missing people posters and the...
Yeah, it's not their side hustle. It's just they're just horrible humans.
Want to tear this movie up, there's too many villains. Like a gang of four people plus all the people they pay off, right? They clearly paid the guy in the bank to watch their mark. They probably are paying off the diner guy.
I mean, it's certainly possible that the diner guy is just angry diner guy who does not want you to look at his receipts.
They did that really well. They like you guys said, they gaslit Kurt Russell, and he's like, he suspects everybody. It's really good. The paranoia works well.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you just need to find some place to pull over, bop Kathleen Quinn in the head, cover her up with a sheet, shove her in the little secret compartment underneath the truck.
Right. The original plan was to get both of them, but he wouldn't get in the truck because he wouldn't leave his stupid broke down piece of Jeep
Well, I mean, it's a brand new Jeep.
You think the plan was to get both of them?
Oh, well, they say that later.
Oh, yeah.
They just had a guy in the truck.
Right. Okay.
The idea was to capture them both, extort the money, leave him for dead, I guess. I guess you kill him then. I don't know.
Yeah. Kill him. Well, they said they were going
to
kill him.
They seem pretty willing to kill him. Like,
Except there's no way you have all of that stuff and not off everybody you've taken those VCRs.
The big loud guy that was like one of the main henchmen with the beard. He was
the heavy set guy gets shot by the kid.
Yeah, that guy. The guy that got shot by Deke by accident. That move is called a deke. You just get a deke.
Totally got deked.
Hockey, we're taking it away. Anyway, but that guy, he said something like, "I'll just cut her head off" or something. And I went, "Whoa, these guys are freaking horrendous
killers."
Yeah. So part of me wishes they lean more into that and less on the profitability side of it. But it's fine, you know. Sure, but you got to have a motive for people, and the motive may as well be money.
Yeah, I mean, might as well be money. I mean, this is. Kurt Russell spends most of this movie climbing stuff using his upper body strength. That's pretty impressive and grunting. So, I mean, you don't have time to think about anything.
He's really good in this. I think he was intense as hell.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I love that we're watching this after, like, the world is watching this after he was Snake Plissken. Yeah. And so there's a certain expectation, but it's more realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some stuff like him crawling around on a semi while it's in motion that's kind of unrealistic.
But yeah, you're in that little cage thing where the tire usually goes. That feels like a pretty good place to hang out. Why do you decide then to crawl under the
I think they tried to portray and just didn't get it across that in that cradle for a spare tire, he was liable to be pelted by stuff coming off the tires in front of him.
Okay.
I was thinking there was also
the possibility because he sees that kid who looks at him. He's probably thinking, all it takes is one person to see me and then gesture to JT Walsh that there's somebody under the truck. And
this movie had magic traffic it was this crazy amount of magic traffic. It's like, if you're in a truck, people are going to see you. You're definitely, everybody drives by, what the hell is that guy doing?
They're right at eye view. It's going to be more than just the little kid looking at you going,
And then, Kurt Russell is like looking behind him sometime and it's like, oh, no traffic at all.
Yeah, and suddenly there's a car
suddenly behind him. I'm like, oh, come on.
They play a few tricks like that. Looking at the run here, we're 10 years previous, he's filming or they released Big Trouble in Little China. So this just give you an idea of how far along this is. But between that and this, you've got Tango and Cash, Backdraft, Captain Ron, Tombstone. He was the voice of Elvis in Forrest Gump. Stargate, Executive Decision, Escape from L.A., and then Breakdown. That's a lot. He was busy.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And I skipped a few things that no one remembers. So, a lot going on. And this guy's been working since, 62?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been on those shoes or before, right?
Yeah. It was his first thing, like being the little kid, Tarzan kid on Gilligan's Island.
I'm looking it up.
No, I think he was like.
Dennis the Menace, it says.
Dennis the Menace.
He was someone named Kevin.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There was like 10 things before he was Jungle Boy on Gilligan's Island. Holy cow.
He was a busy
little. He was a Disney kid pretty much, right? Didn't he eventually just turn into like a.
Yeah.
Like Disney.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, like you said, computer wore tennis shoes, like you mentioned. Yeah. And
in the filming of this one, Kurt Russell was 45. And there's a lot of really good trivia on this movie because they did a full commentary track with Kurt Russell. Mm-hmm. And so he just, sat for an hour and a half and talked about everything he remembered making the movie. But he was 45 and he didn't want to do this movie the way Mostow wanted to film it because they were going to be out in Moab, Utah, and like Lancaster, California for like weeks and weeks. Right. And Kurt Russell didn't want to live in a trailer. And so they flew him out in a helicopter every day to his
I would have made him drive that stupid Jeep Cherokee every day.
Yeah, make him drive that Cherokee. Good Lord.
Drive it in.
That's a lot of that's a little debutante. I don't love that. He's a tough dude.
No. He's rich and famous at this point, and he's getting older, and he doesn't feel that he can put in the perfect performance if he's out living in a trailer. Like he also paid some of the price of, you know.
Right. Meanwhile, MC Gainey's living in a restroom at the gas station.
He's actually right? sleeping like, in that little spot right. above J.T. Walsh's the cab yeah, of his truck. Ooh, yeah. Why does it smell a little Gainey in here?
Yeah, it's a little MC Gainey, dude. I have a lot to ask about him.
I didn't realize Kurt Russell's been in the last few Fast and Furious movies. Fate of the Furious.
Mr. Nobody. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting character. Same here.
Not like I've seen any Fast and Furious movies to be surprised about, but
sure. Do you guys ever see Bone Tomahawk? Did you catch that?
No.
I did not.
It still features, so it's this Western horror movie. Came out 2015, same year as Hateful Eight, which is also an incredible performance by him.
Fantastic. Yeah.
But Bone Tomahawk officially has the grossest gore scene I've seen in a film to date. So if you ever catch yourself watching Bone Tomahawk, watch for it and you'll be like,
is it Scott Johnson gross? Like, oh wow, he just picked an eye booger out of his eye. He didn't wash his hands and now he's licking his fingers
now
after
he's eating chicken. Yeah, no, it's not that kind of gross. It's like an effects gross, but it is really gross.
You're talking about some folks taking a hammer to a guy's lower leg?
No, that's gross too.
Not but there's, miseried. Okay.
There's right. more of a stem to stern kind of disembowelment deal.
Oh, really?
It is that really gnarly. That's something.
Even over the chainsaw, there's a stem to stern chainsaw thing that you.
Oh, in Terrifier 1. Yeah, that one's pretty bad. But that one at least struck me as, oh, I can see that this is rubber. Like conceptually, conceptually it's worse, but execution, it's not as gross as what Bone Tomahawk.
Wow.
Did.
Okay.
Yeah, it starts out with it because I just fired it up on Tubi TV, and the first thing you see is.
Oh God, really?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Another really good cast, by the way. Kurt Russell, Patrick Wilson, Matthew Fox, Richard Jenkins, David Arquette. Well, it's David Arquette's
back.
Yeah, David Arquette's back. Sid
is
Higgs
he a DJ in that?
He's a DJ. He's DJ right. Bone Tomahawk. Yeah. That's where the title comes from.
It's a weird movie. I really liked it. But
don't downgrade my
my enthusiasm.
My enthusiasm.
but I think if I'm to pick a favorite thing I ever saw him do, I might pick Hateful Eight. I really like him in that.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I really like him in that. I like him in Miracle also, the coach in Miracle. It's a 2004 movie about the 81 Olympics where the U.S. beat the Russians.
Oh, yeah.
He plays Herb Brooks, the coach. He's very, very good in that. Like, I think maybe even got some kind of nominations or something for that. But I think if I'm picking, I'd lean toward Western. So Hateful Eight.
Yeah, I have to go with Tombstone every time.
Don't get me wrong. I love Tombstone. I just think, you know, it's a little paint by numbers.
Oh my gosh, Scott Johnson.
You're hearing me wrong. It's one of my favorite Westerns of all time. I love that movie. But there's nothing amazing about everyone's acting. It's just sort of
Kurt Russell. Yes, he is the amazing actor.
He's great in it, and Hell's Coming With Me and all that. I get it.
I've seen it.
Backdraft for me.
Backdraft was really
We were seeing emotional. Every action movie, every thriller, every drama that came out, whatever Friday, like basically we were, if AMC A-List had been a thing back then, man, we would have been taking their money. We would have been taking AMC's money because we were seeing every Friday night, one of whatever two, three movies that came out that week, we were like, oh, action movie, let's see that one. And so it was Tango and Cash and Backdraft and Executive Decision and things like that. But
and you know who else is in Backdraft with Kurt Russell?
Baldwin.
J.T. Walsh.
Oh, J.T.
Walsh. Oh, J.T. Walsh is in there, too.
Yeah.
Is he a bad guy in that one, or is he a good guy?
He is not a bad guy. Don't want to give away the bad guy, but
there
bad
are a few. Well, I remember the bad guy. I do remember the, I remember the main bad guy, but... it's funny how I only ever think of J.T. Walsh playing a bad guy, and I'm sure he's played just as many, like the wary but wise dude that kind of helps out the main characters along the way.
And this was the last of four movies with them together. They were in Tequila Sunrise together and Backdraft. Yeah. And just the movie right before this, they were in Executive Decision together. So, you know, Kurt Russell and J.T. Walsh have a relationship.
He said he'd said somewhere in here in this trivia that he thought he was the greatest working character actor in Hollywood, and he loved working with him and all that. Because he died like a year after this movie came out.
Yeah, he did.
Had a heart attack or
had so many movies that came out afterwards that had been filmed that came out after J.T. Walsh's death. But
yeah, he's very good in Sling Blade, by the way. Really good.
Really good there.
And you know, at some point, I feel like we need to watch Tequila Sunrise. That was part of that whole Red Shoe, not quite Red Shoe Diaries, but kind of like thriller, but lots of romance in the thriller. Like Fabulous Baker Boys kind of was that as well.
Yeah. Sure.
Both Michelle Pfeiffer, torn between two guys kind of thing, if I remember correctly. But Tequila Sunrise feels like a good
I'd watch that. Again. Hell yeah. By the way, they really did him dirty here on his IMDb photo. They need to fix that.
J.T. Walsh? Yeah, it's like a paparazzi photo
Awful. It's awful.
Horrendous.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody just go in there, screen cap something out of one of his movies and be... And
it looks like he got surprised.
Look
over here, J.T.
He's got a parking meter next to him. And it's almost like he's about to get hit by a car.
Yeah.
You're seeing the headlights.
It should be called J.T. Washed Out, because look at that photo. It's horrible. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
his eyes are baggy. He's like, it's horrendous.
Fix that
There's
shit.
So many better potential photos.
Apparently that dude smoked like a chimney and was having all kinds of health issues related to the smoking, but he was only 55 when he passed, but he'd been smoking since he was a little kid and chain smoked. So when he was smoking in the truck, that was him really getting a break there. It's like, sweet nicotine.
Wow. Yeah.
This is weird. I found this trivia and I think it's weird and I'm really glad they didn't include it. Here's what it is. The film originally had a prologue and it was added at the behest of the producers. And this showed Kurt Russell's character as a cameraman in a war zone. He witnessed death, of a young girl. This prompts the cross-country trip with him and his wife to start a new job because it just shocked him too much. Director Jonathan Mastow did not like the opening and asked for Paramount to test screen one version with the prologue, one without. After the screenings, the executives agreed that he was right and they opted to remove it. So I'm really glad they did. Need it.
I would like a little more explanation of why he's such a badass. I mean, because up until that point, I mean, we're kind of like, oh, this is just, you know, some rich kid, you know, just he's got it made. But they've kind of fell on hard times a little bit. So I'd like a little bit more backstory.
He kept calling that shirt.
But not that thing you said.
They kept saying she was wearing a blouse that was a Benetton. I'm like, I always thought it was Benetton, isn't it?
A button-up sweater.
I thought it was
United
a Benetton.
Kolars of Benetton.
I thought it was Benetton.
I thought it was Benetton, too. And if nothing else, Vampire Weekend has confirmed that it is Benetton.
Now it's canon now because of them, so we're good.
Louis Vuitton, and then he's in Benetton.
And a little bit of the Kurt Russell commentary track that I listened to, he did say that he personally removed some things from the script.
Right.
Like that there were lots of moments where the script had his character saying more than he actually said because he wanted really badly to act instead of talk.
Yeah.
And that he felt very much like the audience would capture his character better if they were seeing him rather than hearing him. And I think that was the right call. I like when you said, you know, like he was a cameraman in a war zone. I'm like, no, I like this guy just being an absolutely victimized everyman.
Yeah.
Right.
And he had to reach down and find the energy to find the anger. You know, I also prefer that. I think that was the right move and they did not need that.
Not hard to reach down when you're watching this. It's really not hard to get angry for his character.
Be able to
drum up that anger and
when he finally like confronts him in the kitchen
and he's shaking,
going off like I don't know, man. That's what I loved about the performance here is it felt like that was real. Like I would be I would be. I'd be shaking. The adrenaline would be freaking me out. I wouldn't want the kid to get hurt. Like all of that stuff really resonated with me. It was
didn't shoot more knees when he finally starts getting his revenge. He's in a truck with MC Gainey. And you're like, you know, if you just shot this man in both knees, you could keep him alive.
He would tell you everything you need to know. Right. You don't need to keep slamming on the brakes with his...
Yeah, that was it was kind of hilarious. I loved it.
It was so funny.
Yeah, I don't want that to not be there, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think you go in the kitchen and the first thing you do is you shoot Billy. Shoot Billy.
I don't need Billy.
Right. Billy is a great example of like, here's why you should give me my key. Give me my new key to get my wife out because I'm shooting Billy.
Yeah.
You guys are a lot better than me because what I thought he was going to do, and I'd seen this movie before, I was like, what would I do? I'm like, well, I'd go in there and I'd grab his wife and go, how does it feel? Give me my wife back. I'm going to shoot your wife. Bah, 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 bah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm a bad
his wife
person.
Was on the other side of the table. You've got a lot of like,
I like
you
yours
pull
better.
Your chair
shoot
out,
Billy.
Maybe move the table. Can you come out? How about you step this way? Yeah.
It really does make you mad. Like you're sitting up straight thinking of what you would do to get your revenge, you know, like to let out your demons. And I'm wondering if a part of that is like, if that is a part of why Scott liked it so much, like Scott, were you like really feeling those emotions, super high emotions?
I definitely was, but, and I'll tell you what, if it was, that's why I like that his choices were not to grab the wife at gunpoint and see how does it feel or put the kid in great danger. Even when things started going south and he shot, Deke shot the guy by accident because he pushed his arm out of the way. I guess it was technically Kurt Russell's fault. But anyway, when that happens, he very quickly, one of the first things he does is say, get over there with your mom, you know, be safe. Yeah. I don't want these people because they're clearly victims too. That made the intensity even more for me because you're managing more than just raw anger where nothing matters. Things still matter to him. Even
not letting society break down.
Yeah,
right?
I really liked that. I thought that was a really
it's the way
choice.
It goes.
I thought for sure the way that they focus on J.T. Walsh given Deke the Swiss Army knife that was going to be.
I was like, was that Swiss Army knife going to show up? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, by the way.
Grab a bucket.
The Swiss Army knife is the chick in the bucket. I wrote that down.
I think the kid is even a chick in the bucket because I don't see the kid go into the.
There's the 10-piece chicken bucket here, man. Yes. There's all kinds of chickens.
Is it original or extra crispy?
Yeah, this
movie casts aside the entire concept of police and state police and FBI and so forth. An officer was shot, and you're telling me that all of the policing agencies in the region of the country are not on every road.
They really do have this movie is on its own planet kind of vibe going on because I'm sorry, but in 97 that stretch of Moab there's cops everywhere, there's a whole town there, like come on.
Well, and to make Bell's Diner, Jonathan Mostow built a diner in Lancaster, California. And he said in his commentary that he wished he'd kept ownership of it. Sold it to somebody immediately after they finished filming. And it's now been in like 24 different movies and TV shows.
That's interesting. It's a perfect greasy diner, you know?
Yeah, it looks authentically muddied up and old and like it smells like grease and French fries and desperation.
And the waitress's puke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean Flo?
Yeah, Flo.
She wasn't a waitress, was she? She's just a barfly that, hold on, honey, I'll be right with you.
Yeah.
Well, because she said, I'll be right with you, it really seemed like she was a waitress.
Oh, yeah. No.
She was ready for some loving because she's hitting on him at the bar, too.
Oh, right. See, I understand where Randy's coming from because the way they treated it. She did feel like she was probably working there, but then I remember the guy saying, "I'm the only one that works here," because he said, "You have any other employees?"
Yeah,
and
he was alone there.
Yeah,
I thought that guy was at first. I had to look up the actor because I thought that was the same actor.
Jack McGee is the actor.
I thought he was the same guy from Dune who plays the fat Arrakis.
That is hilarious. The
Baron?
Yeah.
Really?
The Baron, yeah.
Arrakis?
Baron Harkonnen.
Harkonnen or Harkonnen.
Because he's got a very similar face, very similar features. Maybe, you know, several pounds lighter, but even though I know it's a big suit in...
Yeah. This, by the way, was the last, I just noticed this, the last movie J.T. Walsh had released during his lifetime. So he had one, two, right. three, four, five, six more movies, but they all came out in the 2 years later, a year later. Yeah.
This is a good, this is a really good one to go out on, right? Like, it's no Wagons East or, what was it, the Royal Julia's? It was Street Fighter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this
is
a good one for, you know, for people to remember you by, even though he did have a few movies afterwards.
There's probably a good definitive list of, like, terrible movies to go out on when you before you die.
Yeah.
I don't know who else has
I'm
done
sure
that.
I'm sure there is, yeah.
But what a, I mean, Raul Julia, what a freaking force of nature in almost everything he's in, and then Street Fighter. And he's good in Street Fighter. Let's be honest. He's all right. Like, for what the material is, Raul Julia is putting in his all, but what a bummer on your IMDb to say that was the last thing you did.
Here you go. Here's the list. Sean Connery, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman, Welcome to Mooseport. Joan Crawford, Trog. John Candy actually had Canadian Bacon as his last
film.
That's also
right.
bad.
Also bad. Yeah. Elizabeth Taylor, These Old Broads from 2001. Robin Williams, pretty much everything. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was something called Absolutely Anything, which I'd never heard of.
I'd never heard of that. Okay.
Directed by Terry Jones and featuring a lot of his Monty Python comrades.
Really?
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
Essentially an uninspired ripoff of Douglas Adams' The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series, Absolutely Anything squanders its top-notch acting roster. Simon Pegg, Eddie Izzard, Joanna Lumley, Kate Beckinsale. Robin Williams plays the talking dog. Put this on the film sack list immediately, please.
Right? Yeah, John Cleese, Eric Idle, Terry Gilliam, Terry Jones, Michael Palin. Jeez.
No kidding.
Well, it's not.
Bob
it's
Hoskins, not, Snow White and the Huntsman.
Doesn't have the worst score.
Any list like this has to have Bruce Lee and Paul Walker. Those are the two high point final films for me.
For sure.
2015.
Gene Kelly, Xanadu.
Wow.
And finally, Bela Lugosi, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
And then Rob Riggle. Sorry. Rob Riggle's in this movie.
I guess you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? John Wayne's last film was The Shootist. That's awesome.
That's a good way to go out.
Yeah. If you're going to go out on The Shootist. That's pretty strong. Yeah. Good for him. I'm glad his heart attack didn't
Patrick
kick in.
Patrick Swayze's last movie?
Oh, anybody? I don't know.
Donnie Darko? Or did he have anything out? Do you have something after Donnie Darko?
Let's find out.
Anything, by the way, is available on Prime, Amazon Prime right now for free.
His last movie was Powder Blue.
It looks like it was Powder Blue.
Yeah, what is Powder Blue? I don't know if that is. Oh, that has people in it. Let's see. Jessica Biel, Eddie Redmayne, Ray Liotta, Forest Whitaker, Lisa Kudrow, Patrick Swayze, Krista Kristofferson. This is a big cast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow and Chris Kristofferson in the same film?
I know, weird, right? What is this about? Four Los Angelinos, a mortician, an ex-con, a suicide ex-priest, and a stripper are brought together on Christmas Eve by a mixture of circumstances.
That's an incredible cast. You named a bunch of Oscar nominees.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got that, it's got the aughts, like the 2000 to 2010 movie poster. All movies had this poster. Hold on. I'm going to share this in the Discord.
Okay.
Because I think this is funny as a design thing, because it really is a very, you know, we always say, well, what did the 2000s have? We don't know what to pin on it culturally.
Right.
Like, what was its look or whatever? And this is it. Here you go. Oops.
Okay.
In the wrong damn Discord. There we go. This one right here. I swear every other movie had that poster. That
it's
collage.
The Crash. Yeah,
it's Crash
had this, and I think one of the Guy Ritchie films had this. Like, it's the montage of scenes from the film cut together like a sloppy cut and paste.
It's not a montage when you put a bunch of pictures.
Collage. Collage.
There you go.
Collage. Not a montage. Collage. Yeah,
that's totally it. And they went on, and everybody did one. They are all doing that for a while. And now,
Did you know that Patrick Swayze and Don Swayze were only in two films together?
No, I didn't. Are they brothers or what?
Was he in Roadhouse? And what was the other one? Right.
This one, Powder Blue and Letters from a Killer.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. That new, by the way.
Do you play a stunt double? I always like when they do that.
I always bring the
less popular brother in. He'll be the stunt double.
Yeah, right.
Now, that one I just put in of this new movie we're doing today, Breakdown. I feel like all 90s movies look like that.
It's the blue and orange.
Yeah, the blue and orange, which is video games still do. They all do it.
And they deliver. Right, yeah, they deliver what they're promised there. We got Kurt Russell running just like that. He runs in this movie a lot.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly good poster, but they're trying too hard to not give away anything.
Mm.
And when you're watching this movie, when wife first disappears and then he confronts the person that he thinks kidnapped her in front of a cop, you have to ask yourself, and I'm curious, Scott, if you asked yourself, is this a sci-fi or aliens involved? Like, is he in an alternate universe? Like, did any of that cross your mind?
No, because I think I knew enough about it going in, but that's a fair thing to wonder. Like, now that you say it, if I didn't know any better and I saw just this poster, it does look like aliens are involved somehow. Like,
yeah.
Even the taglines here, cross-country trip, an unexpected breakdown, the trap has been set, and then he's running from who knows what the hell's going on back there. She's just standing there. I don't know. I guess it could happen to you, it says. I don't know. Maybe.
It does. And poor Kathleen Quinlan. I mean, she gets movie poster status, but she's in the movie for what, all of 2 minutes at the beginning and at the end.
She's barely in the thing. Barely.
Not just that. She's not only missing from the movie, but she gets tortured, beat up, wrapped in like a mummy. And then in the very, very end, she gets her leg crushed. It is like, there's the butt monkey character of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there were really only, let's see. This is usually a Randy thing to notice, but it's her, the girl in the bathroom, and the wife, the other wife. Those are the women.
The villain's wife.
Yeah. Right. That's it. Right. That's all the ladies you get. And then you get all these ridiculous men. So we haven't talked about J.T. Walsh, MC Gainey enough. He claims Earl, this character of Earl, was the darkest character he had ever played in a film, and he said he regretted it, which I think is hilarious. Because he went on to be some of the darkest characters I've ever seen him ever do.
Yeah, Con Air. He's like one of the murderers on the plane. And
Justified. He's amazing in Justified, but he's a horrible person in Justified.
Lost. He starts out being a good. Well, I guess he's always Mr. Friendly, right? He's always kind of a good guy.
I guess so.
Don't know. He was Roscoe in Dukes of Hazzard. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, the movie.
Remember when he was the running penis? That movie with the
window. Didn't he put it on the window? Pushed it up on
I'll never forgive him for that.
And Sideways.
Did he regret that? Pleased. I don't know. You know,
I'm really pleased that you watch Sideways, Brian Dunaway.
Of course I do.
It's kind of a small.
Drink the effing Merlot.
Right. Yeah, it's a small thing, right? Alexander Payne doesn't make movies for everybody.
Yeah,
right.
I love that movie so much, and I love that right before MC Gainey comes charging out, he and his wife are in bed, and they're using, I think, like George W. Bush or Donald Rumsfeld on the television, like it's like porn
to
for
get
them
going.
Or something.
Yeah. That sounds like a
crazy thing.
That sounds like a thing that MC Gainey might try. I don't know why.
I right before I saw that movie, maybe 2 weeks before I saw Sideways, I went to California north of Santa Barbara for a newspaper. I had to go see a newspaper out there. And I went through the town that had like the split pea soup capital of the world, which is what they show, the place, Solvang, I think is what it's called.
Yes.
And they show that in Sideways. I'm like, oh, I was just there. And you're seeing all this like, Scandinavian style architecture. And it just was really funny timing.
It's Danish. Yeah. It's Danish. Yeah.
Danish. Sorry. Yes.
That's the same. That's close enough.
Yeah.
But
that's Scandinavian adjacent.
Yeah. Very, very like I say, I love it when I come across people who've all seen this movie. Scott's obviously seen it because he remembers MC Gainey.
He remembers the penis.
Yeah, I always remember that. Dude, that's seared into my head. I'll never forget it.
Never.
That was hard to see. And I wonder how he feels about that. He says, "Oh, I regretted my harsh character in Breakdown. I'm but totally
not my,
cool
not
with
my flappy dongle.
Yeah, not my big old hunk of junk."
Is going through a car wash, would that be enough for you, Scott? Or would you need to like put on Playtex living gloves and just scrub the hell out of that window before you ever drove that car again?
I hadn't really thought about it. I would probably.
Nope.
Oh, You know, it'd be enough. A car wash would be enough. I'd be all right.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It was on the outside. I mean,
you'd be thinking, you come out of that car wash, you'd be thinking about that the next time you had to, like, touch that window.
No, I'd never forget it. I'd never forget it. You're out in the summer and it's cold, you know, it's hot out, and you're like, wow, let's just get some of this breeze. And you'd roll it down. I'd think of it every time you rolled down that window.
I would be thinking about the first time it's cold and there's like the steam or the condensation from inside of the car leaves this this outline of it.
Yeah, like a weird silhouette of what was there before.
Oh my God!
Right,
somebody throw a hot dog at you? What's on the window?
Yeah,
I think. Look, come on, we're going to say flat auto glass. That window just has to be replaced.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what you do. That.
Cheapest.
Yeah. It'll make your insurance go
up. Can I take a shot at what grossed out Scott the most?
Go ahead. Sure.
I had a moment where I was just like, I wonder if Scott felt this the same as
gross.
Me.
Okay, what do you got?
So Kurt Russell is, he's got it. He's got the trucker caught, right? He's got JT Walsh and a cop, and they're not. It's not going the way he expects. So he decides to take matters into his own hands and search the cab of the truck himself.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where he sticks his head into this little sleeping compartment.
Into the back
and
area.
Takes a whiff. You can really feel him smelling this gross. It is so gross in there. And I was just wondering if Scott felt the same.
That is not my gross moment, but now that you've described it as such, it would have been in the running had I thought of it, but I didn't think of it when it was in there. Right. It's a good one, though. Yeah, you know none of those smell good. There's no way.
Oh, yeah, no way.
No one's got to, you know.
I honestly could not think of a Scott gross out moment.
For me, it was easy. I'll tell you. Here it is. It's when he was in the bank.
Okay.
And
goes in the bathroom.
First thing in his mind is, I need a weapon. He grabs a plunger and he manhandles the rubber part off of the stick. And he didn't wash his hands.
That's a really good point. Oh my God. Because there's no way like somebody uses that to plunge somebody's massive dookie and says, all right, let's actually really scrub the heck out of this rubber plunger.
No, yeah. You're not keeping it in, chlorine or something. You literally, it's as dirty as it was the day before when the guy took a crap that plugged up the bank. So that grossed me out. I didn't like that.
We're gonna have to close the bank for this one.
According to the trivia, we'll do a little scrutiny for this though. Let's come one of these. Dennis Quaid, Bruce Willis, Ed Harris, Mel Gibson, and Richard Gere were all considered for the leading role. Now I can see Dennis Quaid. I think I can even see Ed Harris. I'm not sure about the rest.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe the others, because you need a quality to the character he's sort of like a Benetton
everyman.
Shopper.
Yeah, he's got to be the everyman, right?
Right? You need to have that. And I don't think Mel Gibson is that. I don't think, maybe Richard Gere. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe Bruce Willis even.
Yeah.
I mean, could have been Mel Gibson. This was his payback era, right?
Yeah.
Right.
What was the ransom, payback. Kind of ransomy?
Ransomy, sure. Oh, that's a good point.
I'll take it.
That's a good
point.
I'd
like to see Richard Gere in this. I think he would have brought even more of a everyman quality to it.
Payback was 99. Another reason 99 is a great year. But yeah. Dude, Payback. Why haven't we seen that yet? What is wrong with us?
We do need to see it. I'm sure. I think that is on our list. I just don't think we get it yet. Or it's available yet. Thing.
Gosh, dang it. It's good.
Since you just brought up Sideways, I wouldn't mind seeing see Thomas Howell. Is that his name?
Oh,
no.
Well, there is a C. Thomas Howell.
No, yeah, there is.
That is his name.
Thomas Hayden Church, yes. I wouldn't mind seeing Thomas Hayden Church in this role. I think he could have done
it. Yeah. No, that's a good call.
Oh, that's
at least the way we know him now, you know? Like,
Sandman.
Yeah, he's like Woody Harrelson in that he shook off the Woody thing pretty quick.
Right.
And so did...
Because he was in Wings, if you didn't
know.
Yeah,
Wings.
He was the goober in Wings.
So as soon as he quit being the goober in Wings...
in Wings.
Although he was great. Speaking of Tombstone, he's amazing in Tombstone. He's really good in that.
Yeah.
Played a bad guy in that.
I mean, Tombstone's okay and all, but you know.
Tombstone started. Dude, Tombstone's great. Tombstone is one of the best Westerns ever. The question is, was it Kirk Douglas? What am I trying to say? Was it Kurt Russell's best performance? That's all that was. I don't think it is. It's a popcorn Western. It's the best they ever did.
If you feel like it's Kurt Russell's best performance, Randy, I think you're totally fine believing that.
Yeah, of course.
I actually think his best performance is in Overboard, because it's ridiculous and he totally rises to the occasion.
Overboard's the one with the who's in that? Oh,
yeah.
He's on the. That's not Cat. What am I thinking of?
You're close. When he goes, overboard she goes overboard, right?
Yeah, it's Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And she doesn't remember anything, but she falls in love with Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah, and he needs a woman to watch his bad kids, and so he takes the opportunity to, because she's a rich lady,
socialite. Yeah,
yeah.
Forgets all that. Becomes
isn't Martin Short in
woman
that?
Of the people.
Is Martin Short in that, or am I?
So.
No, Martin Short.
I mean,
no,
Martin Short's acting is usually overboard, but I don't know if he was.
You thinking of Captain Ron? Maybe no.
Oh, I'm thinking of Captain Ron.
Totally Captain Ron.
But that's also
he's on a boat again.
That's Kurt Russell, right?
He's also Kurt Russell. Yeah,
he's also Kurt Russell.
Okay,
aforementioned Captain Ron.
I have mixed those two like chocolate and peanut butter.
Easy to do because it's a boat. It's boat. It's Kurt Russell on a boat.
That's true.
Themed.
Right as flippy floppies. question about speaking of Kathleen Quinlan, which we did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Helpful or not helpful that she tells the bad guys that he's got $90,000?
Oh, absolutely helpful, because she's actually the smart one. She knows that her husband, Jeff, is not the brightest bulb. So she knows that in order to stay alive, she's got to convince these people. So she's the brain in this operation.
You think,
she's got to convince these people to stay alive.
Okay, because at this point, I mean, they're planning on killing him anyway. She doesn't. They would have to tell her the plan of like getting her husband to rob a bank. Not rob a bank, but I mean transfer the money in order to. You think
you
so?
Can tell the whole time her performance is always looking at this Jeff Cat character and always going, "Oh, he's not so smart." So I think she's the.
Well, I did play up to that in my song. Yes,
she's the brains of the operation.
It feels like that could have just gone bad so many ways. Like,
absolutely.
If he did not say donut, if he didn't mention donuts,
they
no
had a 15-minute conversation about it. He knows.
Yeah,
okay. Even he knows.
So
they had a long conversation that we saw. These guys are on a road trip. Who knows how many hours they talked about $90,000 in donuts?
Right.
Well, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they're in Boston and they're already in Moab, that's already 22
that's
hours.
Quite a trip.
Yeah, but
something.
They didn't get the donuts until right before.
Oh, right
there.
Like,
yeah.
Like right in that.
That Texaco.
After they meet. Yeah, where they
but
meet.
But it's in California, clearly.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny how they jump back and forth.
Oh, this movie, 97.
I'm going to keep calling it New Mexico, by the way. I'm just going to keep calling it New Mexico.
That's fine.
If you needed a way, if you needed to be reminded that 97 is a million years ago, just listen to people talk about mail-in contest using two dimes to make a payphone call.
Oh, God. I know.
I was like, holy hell.
Seeing that 20-cent payphone.
Yeah.
All right, MC Gainey has a cell phone. Why doesn't JT Walsh? Why does he have to go to the diner?
I don't know why I did that.
That was weird.
Truck stop payphone.
Yeah, that was weird.
I didn't get why I did that.
That was a little hand wavy. But also, cell phones were still kind of an enigma in 97. So not everybody had one. Some people did, some people didn't. And, you know, we're on the cusp of like Nokia time.
Sure.
Sort of. And I don't know. It feels like maybe that you could wave that away given the time.
I'm paying for the Everything Everywhere plan.
Usually this is a complaint, right? This movie takes place a minute before the internet and eBay. And so like what I say eBay because of that barn full of stuff that
they sell. Well organized. Like they're for killers. They're very well organized.
All right,
put that one in the camera box. Put this one over in the VCR pile.
Yep. But it doesn't really matter. Right? Like this movie doesn't fail if you if you jack it forward 20 years and have it in.
Yeah.
You're
in
isolated.
17, you know?
Right. They put it in an isolated area until it's convenient. Then it's totally not.
Like
isolated.
I said, you could easily have areas where there's no service. Like there's areas in Arvada where it's like, don't call anyone when you approach 64th and Ward because that call will get dropped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. Like I like a movie where the conveniences of technology are broken.
Yeah.
That adds to all this tension. And I think it works especially well now because we're in a place now where if I'm missing my phone for 10 minutes, I'm like, oh shit, what am I going to do? Like, how
if
can I
miss my phone for 10 minutes? My watch lets me know, hey, what?
Yeah. Yeah, like, we, it's such a different time. Back then, you weren't thinking about that. You're just driving across the country and whatever. You had to get to use the cell phone, or if you wanted to, like, nobody else had them either. So it's like you weren't at some big disadvantage. You were at the same level as everybody else. And I don't know, I kind of miss those simpler times, you know?
Yeah.
Remember when times were simpler?
Simpler times.
I do.
I do too.
Can I have a trip alert?
Of course. Here you go. Oops. There you go.
The cops, they just really want you to move along. The cops are just not, I'm having a hard time thinking of other examples, although I've seen this in movies and it always drives me crazy when he's like in the sheriff's office and there's only one human being in the entire place and he's looking at this ridiculous wall of missing people that would never exist.
You couldn't even see the people were missing because it was just piled on. It's like, I'm not taking those off ever.
You have to imagine the last time someone added to that pile.
Right.
just randomly tacking something on there.
At first I thought the movie was saying, oh, this area, it's a lot of missing people. Oh, and they're showing people look like his wife. You know, we're trying to kind of tell a story here. And then he says, then the deputy dog says, hey, millions of people go missing every year. And I'm like, oh man, you ruined it. We were right there. Right. I thought maybe this is like a triangle.
Mm-hmm. The cops just want you to move along. They don't care what, like, you're reporting something that's a heinous crime. Would you just get back in your car? Keep going, please.
Right. Well, the sheriff had to go check on somebody who did something stupid. I meant to
locked herself out of her trailer.
Locked herself out of her. Well, that was the same lady with the trailer later on with the truck.
Oh, maybe. Now that you say that,
because he had to drive all night.
Yeah,
he drove all night.
was the kid's name Deke or Zeke? It was Deke.
Deke with a D.
Right. Deke. And by the way, Deke is totally Billy's son. There's no way that he is Red Bar's son. Just look at him.
Billy stays in town. Red goes driving out to find the next victim. Oh, wow. That's a twist.
Mm-hmm. Didn't see that coming. The heck's going on there? Okay. Wow. One thing we do need to talk about is the intense struggle on the bridge with the semi and the truck. I thought was extremely good, even by today's standards.
So good.
And the final death is one of my favorite deaths of a villain in a long time, where he falls into the river. You think he's dead. He starts moving. Yeah. She's like, nope, puts it into drive, and that thing falls directly on him.
That's
amazing. Amazing.
I actually wrote, can you imagine being a screenwriter and director and coming up with a solution to drop the trucker's truck on him?
Yeah,
like,
so good.
Yeah. Gosh, you've got to be proud in that part of your little script. Sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I really liked that. I thought that was freaking great.
And it put the cherry on top of the revenge story. She finally stopped being the victim, you know, and just took care of the situation.
Yeah, like that moment was like, as irritated as I was that poor, I forgot her name now.
Actress Kathleen Quinlan.
Kathleen Quinlan was barely in her movie that she's third billed on.
Yeah.
There was that she gets to have this like final pull.
For sure.
Yeah. And it was great. That was really
so
great.
Good.
Yeah. Although I kept thinking as the camera pulled away and it started to black out to go to credits, I thought, they're going to need some therapy and stuff.
Oh my God. Yes. And I was kind of disappointed that the cops didn't conveniently show up at that scene. I was just like,
no kidding. And dude in the bank, don't forget, he's around for the sequel. He's around for revenge.
Revenge
the
two.
Dude they paid off in the breakdown two. Broken down again.
Oh man. I wouldn't mind a remake or a follow-up.
Yeah.
Add a dare overboard. Why not? Let's do it for this.
Yeah.
They could get lost on a mountain. It could be called Breakdown Mountain.
Breakdown Mountain. Oh, I like it. I can't quit.
Wish I could quit you.
I wish my engine could start again. Or no. I don't know how it would work.
Wait. Oh. What is Breakdown? Oh, Breaking Dawn Part 2. Breakdown Part 2, and it was brought up that.
JT Walsh is a sparkly vampire.
Right.
Yep. What happens next, you'll never guess.
Are you on Team Earl or Team Red?
Oh, man. Well, let's do some Red and Earl thing. No, let's just the clips.
You mentioned Castle Wolfenstein?
Right? Oh, shit. No, so that was Doom.
It was Doom.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It was Doom, but the sound effects were not Doom sound effects. They were something else, and I don't know why.
It sounded almost like it was Quake at first. I couldn't quite hear. I missed that part because I was too busy waiting for him to bust up in that kitchen.
I don't think, I mean, they wouldn't have had Quake that year when they were filming.
I know, 97, right?
Yeah, filming it in 96, I don't think they had it. But the sound effects were just like some fake thing in there, and I was kind of annoyed because on the one hand, you're showing, this is full-on Doom. Also, there was no console version of Doom yet, so that was a little weird. So the kid would, in theory, have to figure out how to get his 486 connected to his TV and then play stuff. But
he's got a lot of time.
Yeah.
He's clearly homeschooled.
Yeah. But why, if you've got the right to show that visually, why wouldn't you have the, that was weird. I don't know.
Because he needed, when he comes in the house, we need a bunch of sound. And Doom is not a constant sound game, right? It's kind of quiet and stretches.
Can be, sure. Yeah.
And like it sounds like he's playing some kind of shoot 'em up, like a bash, you know, fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like you I guess when that, did, maybe
when
that's
did this
what
movie
it's
come
from.
Out? When did they come out? Because this was
97.
Came out in 97.
Okay. Well, I mean, but what part of the year? Early, late,
May
summer?
2nd, 1997.
May.
Yeah. Sega Saturn did have a Doom demo. By 97.
Did it have the wrong sound effects? That's the big question.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm going to guess no.
Yeah.
I like it. I like when video games make an appearance and stuff like this. I just prefer when they're accurately portrayed.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Of course.
I get weird about it, and I know that's a me problem.
But that's okay.
All right.
Oh, hey. Wow. Just found this out. The woman that plays Red Bar's wife.
Yeah,
that's really in actuality, yeah. Gary Sinise's wife.
Whoa, yeah. Really?
Yeah,
Gary Sinise's.
Gary Sinise's wife. Yeah, yeah. Since 81, it looks like. Yeah. Holy cow!
Well done to those two,
Moira mm-hmm. Harris Sinise. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys like me? Do you love it when the weather starts to warm up, even just a little? Oh, getting out my yard. Digging out the garden. Oh, it's one of my favorite things. It's my favorite part of spring. And Sunday Lawn Care makes it easier than ever to actually enjoy yourself, which is pretty great. This spring, go to getsunday.com/filmsack20. Sunday is everything you need to get the lawn you've dreamed of. And if you go to getsunday.com/filmsack20 and enter your address to get a customized plan created just for your lawn, you'll be one happy camper, or homeowner, I guess I should say. Anyway, what we love about it is how simple it is. Ease of use, the customization, the natural ingredients, the whole process of just getting started was one of my favorite things about it. I mean, it literally takes minutes and it has a perfect plan for your lawn. Really simple, really easy. And Kim takes kind of the lead around here when it comes to lawn care and stuff. And she loves, loves, loves using Sunday. I think you guys are going to love it as well. The lawn analysis was, of course, easy and simple. It turned out to be 100% correct, and we never had a greener lawn last year. And if you've tried weed add-ons like Weed Control, or you've done any of these things with them before, we have, and we can tell you that that pest control stuff, also very easy to use. The results were, felt like overnight. And I don't know, it feels like we're finally getting serious about our lawn care around here, thanks to Sunday. No trips to the store or hauling heavy bags since they ship straight to your home. And you just need a hose to apply Sunday. That's it. You can fertilize your whole lawn in less time than it takes to watch an episode of your favorite TV show. And heck, you can do both. You'll get it done so fast, it'll be right back to your TV show. How about that? They only use ingredients you can feel good about. No harsh chemicals, no long waiting periods, no trying to keep your kids and pets off the lawn. You just simply apply it, let it dry, and you're back to enjoying your yard. Sunday is easy and affordable. Some lawn care services cost as much as $1,500 a year, but Sunday's full season plan starts at just $109. There's a comparison for you. Here's the best news of all. Sunday's offering our listeners 20% off. Full season plans start at just $109. And you can get 20% off when you visit getsunday.com/filmsack20 at checkout. That's filmsack20 at checkout. I promise you, you'll be happy with the results. We sure have been. Let's do clips. You guys want to do clips?
Yeah,
let's do some clips.
Yes.
I like clips. Let's do them. Here's some. For example, we'll start with this one. I just like MC Gainey every time he opens his mouth. Here he is.
Why would you want a piece of shit like that when you got a ride like this?
Yeah, this is a guy that likes to, when he's doing the voice. I love it when people drop the in this, yeah, or the that, and they say at instead of that.
So at,
like,
yeah.
Why you want to think at this and without not this? Like, what the hell accent are you doing, dude? Nobody in Moab talks like that. Freaking weird. All right, here's wife banter.
How about if I promise not to sideswipe anyone?
Oh. Oh, I'm not going to hear much from you later.
She can't drive. Yeah.
I mean, I feel for her, but she did completely sit in the car and never notice that someone was messing around with in the engine compartment.
I think she's inside getting snacks. That's what I thought, too. And I meant to go back because I was like, oh.
Yeah, so she went inside getting donuts and moon pies and whatever. And the god-awful yellow snowballs. Boy, you want to talk about a way to make a hostess treat even worse is color right. Yellow. Those things were horrendous to begin with. Yeah. But, yeah, I was trying to figure out when they could get in there. And, again, is pulling that little cord, A, would the car even start up gas station?
Just my complaint. There are not some cables in front of the radiator,
right?
That like
down by the passenger side lights.
Yeah,
right.
That's a weird choice, isn't it?
You can just touch them together and fix everything.
That's a weird choice.
So insane.
Yeah, I don't know why.
If they do this all the time with people, is that cord on every vehicle?
right.
A really weird choice. I don't know.
But once again, I think because
don't analyze it. Right.
Don't think.
By the way, MC Gainey sounds pure Mississippi to me.
For sure. Sounds like my wife's uncle. Forgot his name. MC Gainey has really wide hips. I don't know if you've ever noticed. And it's I don't mean like he's a big
Discord. And I tried to go back and look at, but I didn't. I missed it.
He's got wildly wide hips. Not just in this, like future stuff. His time on Lost, he would come on camera and you'd see below his torso, and you'd just go, "Oh, that's like four people down there." And it's not. I don't mean it in like you need to lose some weight. I don't mean like that.
It needs to be MC losing.
he's just got like a weird build.
Gait.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or gait.
He's a tall fella, right? So, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. It stretches out funny when you're tall. Trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about these donuts.
What would you do with 90,000 donuts?
I don't know. Sell them for 30 cents each to pay off this car.
Oh, man. I tried to do the math, but I gave up.
Oh, it's quick. What, like 30,000 or something?
That would have cost then? Okay.
Roughly.
Like that, roughly. Yeah.
I mean, if you figure three donuts for a dollar, then yeah.
Okay.
We did quick math on it.
How much of a discount if MC Gainey's wieners all over the window?
100%.
100% discount? 100%.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld just leaving the car for the for the car thief.
Usually the B and the O stay together, but the
exactly.
O stay.
Exactly. Yeah. The O has left the B.
That's such a good episode. All right. He wants his wife back.
I don't know what you want.
Want my wife back is what I want.
Duh. Yeah.
Right.
This one's interesting because it involves the gaze. So here you go.
Mr. Taylor, I've seen it 100 times. You put two people in a car long enough, they're going to go at it. Lovers, married couples, gay guys. Hell, I've seen men dump their women on the side of the road and vice versa.
Like he sneaks the gay guys in there. You like that?
There you go.
Two guys, but not two women. Never two women.
Never two women. Only
they can road trip like nobody's business, lesbians.
I know. You ever seen them? They fly right off the cliff. Just Thelma and Louise.
They just hold hands and go right into the canyon.
Yelling Thelma and Louise as they go.
That really helped set the scene that they were yelling their names.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that kills me. we didn't talk about that actor, the guy that plays the cop. He's cool. He's in lots of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I like him. I can't think of his name, but he's pretty great.
His name is, I just looked at it, as a matter of fact, it's Sheriff Boyd, Rex Lynn.
Rex Lynn,
that's right.
He's often a cop or a sheriff or a deputy. Yeah. In this case, so help me out here. I wasn't entirely 100% sure that he was in on the deal. Was he?
No.
Or wasn't
until he gets shot. Yeah, exactly.
You didn't tell me the sheriff? Yeah, the sheriff's definitely not in on it.
Okay, he's not in it on it at all, right?
Correct. No. Yeah.
That's why he gets shot.
Like this movie asks all these questions. Is the sheriff in on it? Is the man in the diner in on it? Is the guy who keeps an eye on him in the bank in on it? You don't know.
It could
never be
a coincidence that guy happens to be, right?
Totally. I mean, I knew he was
a cowboy and rude.
When he shot Gainey, I went, "Oh, okay, that's either redemption or he was never involved in the first place." And I couldn't tell. But anyway, involved. I like that actor. He's good. Yeah. Be right with
how rude that cowboy though coming up like, I need to open. I'm doing some business here, dude.
Yeah, back don't off. Come over here and go. Yeah. You the manager here? It's like, get the mm-hmm. F out of here. Dick. All right, here's the lady in the bathroom.
I'll be right with you, cowboy.
Oh boy.
Wow.
There's not if there ain't no toothpaste in there.
You can hear it in her voice. You can hear her breath. Oh man.
It's almost a build as a second separate character.
Yeah, I don't like that. Okay. Something about the river. Here it is.
What the hell is going on?
Got away. Went down the river.
Oh, these two. I love those guys. Yeah. The two entrants. Hey,
what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on?
He's great.
I love that they just happen to have the most powerful winch in the world on hand.
Jeez, no kidding. Pull
that. I just can't even imagine what
that gave me a lot of anxiety too when that car was half submerged and he was still
I know.
In it.
Why talk about a Jeep in the bucket? Because I was like, shouldn't he be trying to escape in that? I mean, they pulled it out of the water. If they just like let it go down the river, like, okay, it's gone, no big deal.
Yeah,
but they recovered it, and I'm like, where's it at?
Jeep in the bucket. I like it.
Where's my Jeep?
That's pretty great. All right, this kind of character is always here. This guy.
You all right?
What you doing? I'm just a big dummy, local dummy kid.
Yeah.
And then the big reveal.
Yeah. Which was just, I have a lot of hair and I'm normal. This is a thing you don't want to have happen to you.
Fluctuates my ass.
Oh, you don't want that. You don't want to fluctuate your ass. He ain't. Oh, we did this.
He ain't no goddamn donut king.
We did that at the top of the show. It's pretty great.
Yep.
No one talks like this, I wrote.
But it's about 5'5", 115 pounds, 3 or 4 of that just pure tit.
What?
3 or 4 of that is pure tit.
What does that mean? I know what it means. 15,
right.
Yep. Pure tit? It's not a quantifiable thing. You don't go, well, what percentage of that woman is tit? No one says that.
Right. How heavy would you say that woman's breasts are?
But give it to me in tit terms.
Speak to me like I know what I'm talking about.
They just had to make him even more reprehensible for some reason.
Yeah. But it made for a really good intro. Or part of it helped your intro today, Dunaway, to have that
for
line.
Sure.
Let's see. Oh, and he couldn't stop there.
Curly brown hair upstairs and down.
Oh, hey.
Wow. Why is he antagonizing his victim?
I don't know.
You don't have to even talk to Kurt Russell. You never have to say a word to him. Why is he doing this?
That's very weird.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is purely to antagonize. You want him to go over the edge so he makes a mistake and it's easier.
You want him to break down.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Let's see. Oh, you guys, I saved this because this is real, actually. My recording stuff went all haywire while I was recording and I kept it. So this is what happened. Check this out.
Now, you see that building with the flagpole coming out the top of it?
Yeah.
That's a sheriff.
Exactly.
On patrol in the foothills.
That freaked me the F out because it happened. I don't know. I still don't know what happened. I don't know what it was. Something with my routing software or something got weird.
I think they drugged me and they want me to go into the bank. And
that's great. All right. He does this like hardly anyone else I wrote.
Son of a bitch.
That you can hear him do that every movie he's ever in. He can do that.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You could have said to me, this is him in Tombstone before playing that, and I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have known. I thought about
easily,
actually doing that.
Tango and Cash. It's everything.
Bad guy's wife was kind of lame. Here's her.
Can't they come some other time?
Hello.
Can't they come some other time?
Can't they come some other time?
I'm married to Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah. She's got legs, you know.
She's probably very nice.
What?
Yeah, he's got real legs.
Like
I know.
They could make it. They cut off Gary Sinise's legs for that role. Come on now.
Yeah, they totally did. Reattached them later, though.
Yeah, titanium.
Here's one of our chicks in the buckets.
Real Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, never see that again.
Didn't need that line.
Nope.
I don't think it changes anything if you just hand him his gift and you see it.
Yeah.
I'll bet an early draft or maybe even a cutting room floor scene had the kid stabbing Kurt Russell in the leg instead of putting the gun at him.
Right.
Or something. There's something in there. You're probably right.
Kurt Russell's like, nope, not getting stabbed.
You know what? I gotta.
I'm gonna stab you, son of a bitch.
I know.
My other thought was, here's your gift, a real Swiss Army knife, because you have the keys to the barn, but you've never found the box of Swiss Army knives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, though. The trucker guy, would he never really leave town and do the long hauls? He was always sort of just backtracking and stealing shit and then putting it in the thing and then just telling his wife he was a trucker, because he didn't, he had no trucker company to like report to. So did she never see paychecks?
I mean, he'd have to be a long haul trucker, you've got to sleep somewhere else. So, you know, that all seems like just day stuff, right? You just go out a little bit, MC Gainey stalls him, gets him mad at the gas station, unplugs their whatever
magic wire.
And then you, by that night, you've got him back at your, back at your barn, unloading their property. I don't know. It feels like
it's weird. It's weird, right? Just a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Weird setup.
I thought all truckers did this. Is not what truckers do?
No.
Okay. It's hard to think of a more living nightmare than the wife is experiencing when she's realizing all in a moment that her husband is this terrible criminal. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah.
She, man, what a, next thing you know, she's getting marched into the barn. And
right. Like, yeah, wow. That was a raw deal. And that kid.
You guys ever watch that, what is it, Evil Lives Here show? You guys watch that?
What's it called?
It was so good. It's
called Evil Lives Here?
It's a Discovery Plus, I think. Discovery Plus and Evil Lives Here. It's all these interviews with people who live with serial killers and crazy shit.
And never realize what's going on under their nose.
Yeah. So this kind of reminded me of that. I was like, I would have probably said, nah. But after watching all these people, I'm like, whoa.
Is this a documentary or a...
It's got 13 seasons of this crap.
I've never heard of this.
Pretty intense, too.
TV series, individuals share their perspectives of loved ones who committed horrific crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, dude. Okay.
Damn, dude.
Oh, they do a lot of reenactment. That's why there's actors in here.
Yeah.
I hate reenactments on those.
It's pretty good. It's okay. It's fun because they interview the real people. And then they switch over to the actors, and you're like, that doesn't look like those
people. I know, that's usually what distracts me more from the story than anything. It's like, could they not have found a guy who looks a little bit more like the dude, the murderer?
Right, and I'm always wondering, I'm like, did they show them the footage before they did the interview or after?
Right.
We were gullible then. All right, here's your fake doom sounds. Not even close.
Oh, yeah, no. Not even close. That's a space shooter right there.
Yep.
Probably what happened was they filmed it, and then later on, you know, as they're doing their work, the Foley work, and they're like, I don't have that. What do we have?
You want to do that? No, I don't have that.
A lot more sound. Let's record Contra.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
That's it. That is what that sounded like. Like, I never had a gun that fired like that in Doom. Here's some angry great acting. This is, I think... Kurt Russell at his best here. Here we go.
Don't mister me, you son of a bitch. My wife is locked up in a hole in your f***ing barn. And if you don't give me the key, I'm going to blow your f***ing head off.
And hell's coming with me.
That's great. It's great. All right. This is a weird scene. This, I feel like they should have cut this, but I'll play it. This is our final clip. It's about 11 seconds long. Enjoy.
Turn around!
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around!
Every now and then I get a little bit tired.
You get the idea.
You worked hard for that. I love it.
That was real good.
That clip is actually like 8 minutes long.
Much longer.
I'm ready to help you start your TikTok feed.
It's full
sack TikTok feed.
That was full of doves and, you know, all kinds of weird visuals, and they cut it at the end.
Yeah.
All right. Nicely done, everybody. Now time for this. This right here is the film sack checklist. MC Gainey is even angry when it's rainy. These all rhyme today. Check. Living with abandon. Kurt Russell has hair like Michael Landon. Check.
Wow.
And finally, all the actors who always play dicks are in this movie, set way out in the sticks. Check.
Well done. Good rhyme.
Well, I've gotten a mood. Star Trek connections. Got to be some here. What do we got?
That's correct. I want to jump around. So Jonathan Fernandez is the executive producer of this movie.
Yeah.
And he was also the writer and story editor on 12 episodes of Star Trek Enterprise.
Whoa.
Oh,
geez.
I think that's very interesting to go from being an executive producer of a movie to writing some shows.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention Barbara Harris. Now, this is a pretty deep cut, but she's an ADR casting manager with 1,200 credits on IMDb.
Oh, my Lord. That's a lot.
Some of the films and shows that Barbara Harris has cast for ADR include Breakdown, Star Trek Picard, Star Trek Discovery, Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I'm just going backwards. Like, I could keep going.
Yeah.
But for no particular reason, I did verify that she worked on Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, look at that.
But that our actor in this one is Thomas Capaci. So that's the bank manager, right?
Okay.
He's this confused, scared, bald man. He just wants to avoid a scene. And I say that because he was in five different Star Trek series. He was in an episode of The Next Generation, an episode of Deep Space Nine, he was in the movie Generations. He was in an episode of Voyager and an episode of Enterprise. And he's kind of always playing roughly the same thing. It's kind of the same guy. This Thomas Capaci actor.
Wow. Huh. Well, there you go. Star Trek alive and well on the set of The Breakdown.
The Breakdown.
Yeah, The Break. Sorry. Is it just Breakdown?
just Breakdown, yeah.
Oh, why do I wrote down The Breakdown. Jeez, Scott. Mm. What a dumbass. Mm. Yeah. Let's move on now to, the Twitter post. No, this is the soundtrack grade. I'd give it a B for better than I thought it would be. I actually kind of liked it. It was nice and intense. There was a cool thing where he was all paranoid, wondering why everybody was, you know, making stories up and gaslighting him. Where the music was sparse, but when it would kick in, it would be like, yeah, gunk, gunk, like a real deep, heavy thing. I like that. I don't even know how to describe it clearly. Mm-hmm. I liked it, though. It was good. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. I think this week we'll start with Randy.
Breakdown, the highly underrated prequel to Taken.
Nice. Nice. Short, sweet, to the point, and makes sense. Nice. Nicely done. You understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Brian Dunaway.
Breakdown, like a mail-in contest for $90,000 or 90,000 donuts. A real dollars to donuts kind of movie. Hashtag take the money, Amy. Hashtag I'm having a breakdown right now, Amy. Take the money, not the donuts. We can buy donuts.
I love how those hashtags work. They don't really do what hashtags are meant to do. But
so
like
many
it.
Other tweets using those hashtags. Yeah, yeah. Like you're going to be scrolling for days.
Yeah, you're going to trend hard. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Well, Randy went short. I'm going to do two of them. Breakdown. Oh. Fake Plissken in Escape from New Mexico.
Nice.
That's why. Again.
If we discount the whole New Mexico thing and agree that it did take place in Utah, then I have Breakdown. Kurt Russell shoves a semi into JT Walsh's face.
I like it, Timmy.
Nice one. So the producers of Sideways would like to thank you directly. All right, well done. Now these are the alternate titles. It was almost called The Adventures of Water Jeep Down the Donut River. It's a little too much length there. So
I left my donuts in there. Damn
I know,
it.
Right? Then the other long one was How to Get Top Billing and Barely Be in the Movie, The Kathleen Quinlan Story. Let's get to emails. This is an email from a listener, filmsack@gmail.com, from Rob, who wrote in and says, hello, Sackers. Love the show and look forward to it every week. In your recent episode about Spree, you mentioned that one of the actors in Spree was in Dudes and Dragons. This is a movie that would be great for FilmSack. It's a fantasy story with D&D elements. It has Sci-Fi Channel level special effects and about the same level of acting and writing. Wonderful. The actors know this and have fun with their roles. James Masters, a.k.a. Spike from Buffy, plays the evil king and just hams up his role to impressive levels of cheese. When I asked James Masters about his role at Denver Comic Con, he was ecstatic to talk about it and just how much fun it was to play since he got to play his character however he wanted to do it. The studio that made this movie is based out of Utah, and they shoot their films there, so there is this Utah connection, as Scott would say. I just wanted to toss this recommendation to you. A lot of studio content on Amazon Prime that I would recommend their movies, their other movies as well, FilmSack or otherwise. The studio is called Aerostorm Entertainment, and their six-part movie series called Mythia is a great fantasy story that you can easily see is influenced by D&D. Keep sacking, guys. Rob. Interesting. I've never heard of.
Yeah, I'm watching the trailer right now, and it kind of reminds me of Caveman or something. It's this weird looking. I kind of love what's going on.
Caveman, really? Interesting.
Right, you know, that those weird visual gags and stuff. I'm seeing a lot of visual gags here.
I want to give you the names of some of this director's other movies recently.
All right.
K-9 Adventures, Legend of the Lost Gold.
Okay, that's a dog
the
story?
The Adventures of Robo-Rex.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
The Adventure of ARI, My Robot Friend.
Okay.
Are you getting the theme here?
I'm getting There's the theme. Theme here. There's the theme.
Yeah.
The guy loves, number five is alive in his heart and soul.
Right?
He just wants to keep making those short circuit movies because they won't, right. So he will. Here's a text from a listener. This is Blake, who sent his text to 801-471-0462. You're all encouraged to do the same. Hello, Philipsack gang. Just listen to the Mist episode. By the way, this is a side note. The Mist episode is one of our most downloaded episodes in the history of the show. And I don't know why.
Wow.
To this moment, I don't understand why that one's number one. It's very strange.
Number one.
Anyway, he said, just listen to the Mist episode. And I 98% agree with Scott about how people would really act in these sort of situations. If humans would actually tear each other apart in dangerous/dire circumstances, we would have never survived the prehistoric savannah. That's a good point. Our instinct is to protect the group. We will typically only turn to an individual during a survival scenario if they threaten the tribe or our children. Therefore, the easiest way to unite a group is to give them a common enemy. Once they realize the spiders exist, I firmly believe it would be catalyzing unity for the group. If someone is has a panic break with reality, after that threatened the group's survival, we might deal with them. But I think we would all try other options before taking them out. Love the show, Blake. I agree, Blake. I agree.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, because people were just super generous when there was the even hint of thought of toilet paper being gone during the pandemic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but nobody killed each other for it.
And everybody was just super friendly at Costco when it came to
see, you're cherry picking news stories. I don't think on the ground, if I'd have gone to Costco that day. Most people in that Costco are nice, courteous people. The three people who were a-holes and took all the stuff and ran with it, you're always going to have those. But see, sure. that's my entire point.
They'd be the ones with the guns corralling everybody into corners of the Costco.
Possibly, yes. That's a fair point.
I disagree.
I love your optimism, Scott. I love that world, and I want to agree with the
come to the dark side with me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know my opinion. Come with me.
I just think it's a fact. It's a known fact that every Black Friday, when people are given a reason to gather together, they all harmonize.
Yeah.
Yes. There's no pushing people down for a deal on a microwave.
Yeah, but see, once again, you're talking about a subset of people, not all people. You're talking about the ones that go do that.
Just the Black Friday shoppers.
Yeah, sure. which is a very small subset of humanity. Very few people on the percentage scale go.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. I know
I agree with you, Scott, that most people are probably going to be good, but the ones that aren't are the ones who seem to always push everything, aren't they?
Yeah, but what you end up doing is that may be true and you'll have incidents. So let's say it's once there's a 7-Eleven, a bunch of people trapped, and only one guy's got a gun. That's enough for him to kill 20 of you.
Are you talking about Maximum Overdrive?
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
Okay, good.
But let's say that happens, right?
Right.
It's horrible, it's awful, and all of that. But that doesn't mean that the larger body of people will still survive.
Right.
You'll have death, you'll have problems, you'll have issues, but the goal of species survival always wins. Like, that's the historic, that is our evolution. And so, if our evolution was purely, I got mine, and then that's it, and it's purely individualistic, like, throughout all of human history, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist.
It's kind of like this, but we're social animals, right? So I think that there are, you know, people who are out for themselves, and there's people who are out to sacrifice themselves, like probably a good bit of us. But then there's people in the middle who are just like, I don't want any trouble.
I'm trying to imagine Stephen King writing a story about a crowd of people who are all like orderly and kind.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me help you up. Let's all work
which
together.
Which supports my whole point.
Old as time, right?
Yeah, but that supports my whole point. He would never write that story because it isn't interesting to read. Unfortunately, I think that humans in the end aren't all that interesting. Even when, like, the other day I saw a shootout at some bank. Somebody walked into a bank and shot some people. It's awful.
Right.
And I can't remember what the deal, what the setup was or anything, but it was actual footage, like surveillance footage. And it looks so different to see surveillance footage of somebody shooting or being shot than it does in a movie. We see in a movie, it's all stylized and loud and sound and visual and this and that, and music to accentuate everything. In this thing, it just looked like nothing. It just looked like...
Yeah, real life is like that, right? Like, even in Breakdown, watching Kurt Russell this past week, maybe remember, oh, yeah, Kurt Russell knows how to act like to run. He doesn't actually know how to run, because that's not how people run.
That's a fair point.
Him and Steven Seagal and everybody else, right?
Well, all I'm saying is, if you all come to my 7-Eleven, we got this covered. The future is good. We got it.
I'll be there.
All right.
Here's my deal. Believing that will make me be pleasantly surprised when everybody's nice.
Yeah.
But believing your way will make you sadly disappointed when people act the opposite.
That's true. You will have people.
I'm prepared for the worst, and I'll be pleased when I see the best.
That's always my point, though, is that there will always be some who suck. But the preponderance of people, well, we're going to survive. You know, you can blow up one anthill, but the ants continue on. Why? Because there's too many of the normal ones that are just out trying to find food. You know what I mean?
Right.
My joy is that we probably will never, ever know the answer to this question.
Thank God.
We're all going to die first.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. It's our kids. It's our kids, Marty. all right, let's did I finish that one? I did. Thanks, Blake, for that text. You can send those texts to 801-471-0462. I gave an extra number, let me do that again. 801-471-0462. And the email address once again is filmsack@gmail.com. I want to thank a couple of new patrons that just joined us this very week. Patrick Hess and Andrew Lee, thank you so much for being patrons of the show. Means a lot to us. And if you've got friends who are like, man, I need a good podcast to listen to and then pay for, you can just go there, patreon.com/filmsack, and you'll get no commercials or ads ever. You get monthly bonus content, pre-show content every week, and movie-related art print from me in the mail. Other great benefits. Go read about them and check it out today at patreon.com/filmsack. Our next movie will be Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Back into the bomb.
Nice.
Back to the bomb. Where's that
finger been?
Yeah, right.
Is this the one with the hat, what's his name?
Odd Job?
Yes. Odd Job.
Okay. That's cool. He's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I've been ages since I've seen this. And then they paint the girl gold, one of the Bond girls is gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
She, if I remember correctly, got sick from that because they didn't have non-lead-based woman paint back then.
Woman paint.
Anytime you hear any old Hollywood story about someone being painted something, they always end up being sick.
Yeah.
It's like the Tin Man, terribly sick.
Yeah. Yeah, because that stuff was terrible,
It was terrible,
Did she die from it? Or
it's okay if we go close to your eyes. No, I think she just got sick.
Okay. Well, I'm glad
we're gonna dig. We're gonna dig into that. I'm gonna read all about this before we sack Goldfinger. Cool. I'm fascinated by this.
I love fascinated. Here today in 2023, if you go to Lowe's, they'll point you to the lady paint section, and you can just go get the good stuff. So don't worry about it. All right, that's awesome. That'll be next week. Goldfinger, check it out. That's on Prime, is it?
We're gonna watch it on Paramount.
Paramount,
and it's jumping around on all sorts of things. So I figure we should just go ahead and sack it. You can watch it on Fubo right now. If you have any of the MGM Plus subscriptions, it's available there.
See, that's what's weird, because Amazon bought MGM, but they still keep this MGM Plus. I guess there's more money in keeping it separate. I don't know.
Well, it was on Amazon a couple months ago. We're stepping through our James Bond movies, and they kind of move around on us. But generally speaking, this one's highly available. So
I've never used that one, but I've been wanting to watch Wizard of Oz. By the way, I was referring to the Tin Man earlier, and I said that it was the Tin Man. It was actually Buddy Epson.
Right.
He was going to be the original
or something.
He was going to be the original. Jed Clampett. Yeah, but he.
Buddy Epson was.
Buddy Epson was. Yeah.
He was going to be until he reacted to the.
They have test screenings of him. He was like all set, and then they put the silver paint on him. He's like.
Oh, what? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I got to go get in my concrete pool. Like,
And Shirley Eaton, who was the gold secretary in Goldfinger, did not get sick. I just looked it up.
Oh, man.
I'll save Randy the trouble of
debunking
that one. I thought I did, too. But there's even rumors that she died from that.
See, and that's what I think I heard. Oh, man. Yeah. We're weird people. People are weird. We tell stories. We pass down. We take them as fact. And then we move on.
Yep.
Well, anyway, Goldfinger. Our fingers are going to get gold next week, I can tell you that. So tune in for Goldfinger. That'll do it for us. Don't forget to leave us reviews wherever you get your podcast. Filmsack.com for everything else. Links to everything we mentioned. So go check that out. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
You the fellow looking for his wife?
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Real Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.